Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Trust you all had a good weekend, and we'll talk about the weekend that some folks along the East Coast had in just a little bit with Hurricane Irene. But Jim, we'll start with pure politics, and that's the latest Gallup numbers, which show the latest downtrend for President Obama. We noted not long ago that he was down below 40% approval rating, and that has not changed. He's at 38% approval. Now he's at an all-time high on disapproval at 55%. That's a 17-point disparity. Watching the strong approve, strong disapprove numbers from Rasmussen suggests that that's pretty accurate as terms of where things are trending right now. And we always throw in the proviso that we're a long way away from the election. But right now, President Obama's pretty much stuck with his liberal base and not much else. And as you referenced in the Morning Jolt today, it's from Jeff Greenfield, but it's a good question. Who's going to vote for this guy who didn't vote for him last time, except for people who weren't 18 yet?
And many readers have made a very good answer to me. Basically, it's everyone who has died since 2008. As usual, the dead vote breaks very heavily towards Democrats. And what's kind of frustrating is, you know, particularly in the Chicago precincts, you'll see the dead vote twice. And I think that's just cheating. I think, you know, at the very least, you know, the Democrats should keep themselves to one vote per dead American. You know, looking at the trend in the Gallup numbers, somebody like me who kind of is fascinated by folks like you and I are not fans of the president, but it's kind of intriguing about what makes the polls actually move. And sometimes you'll see things that that don't necessarily affect the poll numbers the way you'd expect. I think it was for much of 2009, unemployment was going up. Things were not necessarily better. And what kind of took the bottom out in 2010 was the oil spill in the Gulf. And as that wore on week after week, month after month, for some reason, that's what really punctured the balloon and caused a certain number of independents to just kind of throw up their hands and say, you know, Obama just can't get this kind of stuff done. In this one, we're definitely seeing a drop. And I'm not sure, I don't know if I put this in the category of the vacation. I'm not sure if I put this in the category of the debt ceiling fight. Patrick Ruffini, who did internet stuff for the Bush campaign in 2004 and is a very smart political strategist, kind of put forth the theory that the credit downgrade was kind of a tipping point in public perceptions of Obama, just because it was something that was, you know, in a way it had been hyped for a while. They got the deal. The deal was supposed to prevent this from happening, and it happening. And for Americans, it's a real kind of crisis of confidence, the sense that, this isn't supposed to happen. We're supposed to be not just the world's reserve currency, but really kind of the economic beacon of the world. And so the idea that, you know, seeing something like America just becoming a double-A nation, and the president coming out and telling us, well, in his heart, we'll always be AAA. Somehow that's less than fully reassuring. And I think a lot of Americans may have just kind of said, you know what, things are really off the wrong track. We've jumped the tracks. We're headed towards the cliff, the ditch, the Slurpee, whatever metaphor you want to use there. Just a sense that things are really going wrong. And we'll see if this continues or if this is a blip. The other thing, which is kind of just an oddity in this, is noticing that in terms of Gallup's tracking poll, traditionally Democrats do a little bit better on weekends than they do on weekdays. And a couple of people have theorized this is because Republicans are out doing stuff on the weekends, et cetera. I wonder if Republicans are working on weeknights, running small businesses, working longer hours, trying to make ends meet, et cetera. So they're not home on the weeknights to answer and say, I'm mad as heck at the president. He's completely loused things up and things are completely wrong. Just kind of two theories to put out there. But either way, for Obama, it's bad news. And if you're not a fan of the president, the Gallup tracking poll is good news today.
Yeah, absolutely right. And even if there is a little bit of disparity on who's home and who's not, when it's a 17-point margin, there's little doubt as to which way it's trending. Anytime the numbers are below 40, if this was President Bush, you'd bet this would be in the A block of every evening newscast in America tonight. This one, of course, will get buried by the hurricane coverage and everything else. And speaking of the hurricane, many of us in the Washington, D.C. area came through quite well. Very thankful for that. Others along the coast didn't necessarily see the winds predicted. Some of them did see decent gusts, a lot of flooding in certain areas, and we know about two dozen deaths along the way. So it's certainly nothing to trivialize. Some folks said it was more hype than anything else, but for some folks, it certainly wasn't the case. On the other hand, there's New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg, who had an interesting week. First of all, he created a completely unnecessary firestorm and one that offended a lot of people by banning clergy entirely from the upcoming 10-year anniversary of 9/11 ceremony at Ground Zero. Completely unnecessary. Then he goes on and gives this order to the folks in the low-lying areas of New York City.
We are today issuing a mandatory, I repeat the word mandatory, evacuation order for all New Yorkers who live in the low-lying Zone A coastal areas in all five boroughs that are at greatest risk of damage relating to Irene.
And maybe he got some forecast that suggested things were going to be worse. In the end, the city seemed to do pretty much just fine. New Yorkers in typical fashion, Jim, of course, heeded his words to the letter. No, they didn't. They pretty much stayed put. It was interesting to watch folks like Anderson Cooper and Geraldo out there in the drizzle on Saturday night, almost crestfallen that things weren't worse. So there was a big buildup, and in New York City it didn't happen. But for Mayor Bloomberg, a guy who basically changed all the rules so he could get a third term, you'd think he'd be a little more politically savvy, particularly on the 9/11 issue. And then watching him try and justify his evacuation orders after not much happened seemed to be a little bit over the top.
Greg, you don't have to be politically savvy when you have a bazillion dollars and you spend, you know, $50 million per re-election bid or $60 million or ungodly amounts. Something like, I believe it was like $72 per vote or something like that. Look, that kind of money can cover up a lot of political missteps. And I think the rule on clergy is just bafflingly wrongheaded. Regarding the hurricane evacuations, I'll cut him a little bit of slack in the sense that, look, you never really know how a hurricane is going to behave, and you always want to be prepared for the worst case scenario, et cetera, et cetera. I think what we see here in pretty much up and down the East Coast, kind of the legacy of Katrina, the degree to which President Bush was so demonized for everything that went wrong in Katrina, even though I think anybody who objectively looked at the circumstance and say, well, whatever flaws there were in the FEMA response, Ray Nagin's response was extraordinarily flawed. We all remember the images of the school buses that could have been used for evacuation just sitting there in flooded waters and not being used. The city of New Orleans had an evacuation plan and simply didn't execute it. And we never really got a particularly good explanation as to why things turned out that way. So I think what Bloomberg and I got more emails from Chris Christie this weekend than I got during the, honestly, God, like in the last 2 months of the campaign. I mean, it was just every 5 minutes, some sort of new update or response. And it was, on the one hand, I guess it's good. It did kind of give this vibe of constant overreaction. But I think every governor, every mayor, every head of any city or state is terrified of being accused of not responding sufficiently and being callous and leaving people to suffer. So I am a little bit sympathetic to it. I think it's an unrealistic expectation. The idea that governors and mayors will be able to wave a magic wand and get everybody out of harm's way. I did enjoy Chris Christie telling people to get off the beach when it comes to the Jersey Shore,
yes.
I believe except for the cast of the Jersey Shore. He wanted them to stay out right in the path of the hurricane,
yeah.
Hoping it'll wash away Snooki.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people, even in Jersey, would probably be okay with that. But you're right. Folks would rather be overcautious than too lackadaisical when it comes to these sorts of things. I think the contrast between how Christie dealt with it and Bloomberg dealt with it is telling. And maybe it's just about their styles, but Bloomberg seemed very kind of bureaucratic and heavy-handed about it. Christie just said, hey, stop working on your tan. You're done. Get off the beach. And it's just kind of a different style that seems to wear a little bit better, even though he's pretty brusque about it. It just seems that Bloomberg was bureaucratic to the hilt, and maybe that's just overreading it.
See, some people watch people surfing in a hurricane and see a tragedy in the making. Greg, I see Darwinism. You know, if you're going to do something like that, then chances are at some point you go hang gliding with a very shoddy hang glider, or you'd parachute without checking your parachute or something like that. It's just, you know, once you have that much tolerance for risk, there's not much the rest of society can do for you.
Exactly right. Now, there are those, of course, who will not admit, Jim, in the wake of this, that horrific storms like these are clearly the work of man-caused global warming. Al Gore is here to tell us that if you are a denier, and that, of course, is a reference to you deny man-made climate change, you're as bad as those who deny the Holocaust ever happened. Now he's suggesting that confronting people who don't believe his global warming alarmism is the same as confronting people who enjoyed segregation.
And that means challenging the climate deniers.
Mm-hmm.
My generation watched Bull Connor turning the hose on the civil rights demonstrators, and we went, whoa, how gross and evil is that? And my generation asked older people, explain to me again why it's okay to discriminate against people because their skin color is different. And when they couldn't really answer that question with integrity, the change really started.
Without getting into the stellar Gore family record on civil rights legislation voting, we could talk about the fact that I guess torturing puppies is next, if you believe that Al Gore's wrong on global warming. I don't know where he's going next after this, Jim.
I really thought Holocaust denier was about as far as these comparisons could go. It was kind of interesting. When he made some similar comments in this vein, I think there were a couple folks on Twitter who said, you know, this is like the Academy Award really can't make you seem centrist. You know, the Nobel Peace Prize can't really make you seem centrist. And in a way, there's something kind of shameless about the fact that he's basically declaring that if you disagree with him, you are evil. Not mistaken, not wrong, not that he thinks, you know, but it's just kind of fascinating. This is now the worldview. It is now completely a religious crusade. I'm surprised the Muslims aren't complaining about my use of that term. That this is now something in which those of us who demand more evidence are left to be somehow excluded from decent society as a result of this. I'll just take this moment to once again plug something I wrote over the weekend. It appeared in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Based on my discussion with climatologists who kind of say, you know what, yes, they're completely convinced climate change is happening. Yes, they're completely convinced that it's man-made. What's kind of fascinating, you talk to almost every reputable climatologist, they don't believe it's reversible. This is not just a matter of hectoring people who drive SUVs and using reusable shopping bags or something like that. But to them, the name of the game is now adaptation to a changing climate, not a matter of this stuff. So as I put it this way, anybody who tells you we can get back to normal climate, and I'm making air quotes as I say that because nobody knows what normal climate is. If you buy the right product, or if you vote for the right person, or if you pass the right bill, everything will be fine. They're blowing smoke up your hindquarters. And they're not even paying for the carbon emissions of that smoke emission.
Well, Jim, I guess the good news here is that since Al Gore is the high priest of global warming alarmism, he will also not be at the 9/11 commemorations on the 10-year anniversary. So I guess there's a silver lining in this after all. Jim, glad you made it through the weekend fine. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.